So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing, hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors online. Each Sunday night, 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you, sir, and good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, the longest-running outdoor talk radio program in America. Isn't that something?
Fantastic.
It is, for sure. And a lot of water today, huh?
Oh, I got drenched getting in the studio door, like drenched. But yeah, we needed it. We needed the rain, so that's
and,
a good thing.
And my Ford Edge was doing a little bit of hydroplaning. Mm-hmm. I had to slow down to 80. Yeah. It was a lot of water.
I know. My car did a little hydroplaning out here, too.
Did it?
So it was a little dangerous.
Yeah.
I was going slow.
Yeah. We need it badly. It's great. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to our show. We've got a good program lined up tonight. I'll introduce our guests in just a moment. But we have a telephone number that we'd like to share with you so you can call in and express your opinion or thoughts or ask questions of our guests. And what is that number, Catherine?
It is 1-800-966-1039.
And you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, which is 101.3 and
101.3. I had to look. What's that? 101.3.
103.9.
103.9.
In the Queen City.
There we go.
And we're also streaming online, so if you have friends who are far away places, they can listen to us live on the internet.
WVOM.
And we do have a bunch of listeners who actually listen to us in faraway places, and we appreciate that. And let's see. I want to remind you, too, that the Sporting Journal, my favorite publication, is available. You can get a subscription by calling Alicia at the office at 732-4880.
You have to give this a little plug as well, that you have the highest circulation in all of New England for a sporting magazine.
Yes, we do.
It's a wonderful
publication. And we have a new columnist coming along, and her name is Catherine Gordon.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Proud to have you on board.
I'm extremely happy to do that. Yeah, it's exciting. Wait to see the first one.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Anyway, our crew tonight, Norm Plord, our old standby, is over in Ontario catching some kind of fish. I don't know what kind.
Oh, he's in Canada. That's right. Well, you know, there's some provinces, they're not letting people outside in any of the forests or waterways or anything.
Are they?
Yeah, so I hope he's
in. Hope things are all right.
Yeah, I hope he's all
anyway,
right.
Anyway, in his stead is a very capable young lady who has operated our board before and always does a bang-up job. Mandy, welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks, guys.
I love having Mandy here.
And you're setting a new precedent. You're holding up signs for us, and that's very helpful.
Well, I feel bad when Norm gets back.
Norm doesn't do that.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
Yeah. Leave those for him.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And our co-host is she's a registered Maine guide. She's a member of the Fish and Wildlife Council. And we'd like to introduce her as the vivacious Catherine Gordon.
It's wonderful to be here. It really is.
Nice to have you here as well. Our guest tonight, we have two guests. We're lucky to have two gents here with us tonight. Charlie Rumsey is the director emeritus of the Bangor Gun Show. He's been at it for 30 years, and he's hanging up his hat and giving it over to the new director, Sandy Hatt. And they're both with us tonight. Gentlemen, welcome.
Greetings. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. And we're going to talk about the Bangor Gun Show, which is coming up in September. And we have some other issues we'll be discussing as well. And again, if you'd like to weigh in, the number is
1-800-966-1039.
And don't forget to check out a Sporting Journal website at sportingjournal.com. A couple of items here, Catherine, on Outdoor Digest. Moose season is approaching, and of course, all of us lucky moose hunters
are
getting prepared, making all our plans early. And I was able to finally secure a meat processor.
Oh, good. That's
and, you know, I don't know if either of you ever hunt moose, but that's not an easy thing. The processors are all booked. Have you noticed that?
I am not a moose hunter.
Oh,
but
never?
This year, I have never been drawn for a permit. This year, one of my granddaughters got a permit.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Oh, that's good. You want to get your meat processor lined up early.
My usual question for that is, why not me?
Yeah. Well, I've been asking that question, Sandy, for 20 years now, and it finally happened for me. Anyway, make sure you check out the videos that are available right now. They've got Lee Cantor's done a great job setting up videos to teach you how to quarter a moose.
Yes.
How to dry dress a moose, how to prepare the meat carefully without letting it spoil. And I commend those videos to you. If you'd like to see them, you simply go to the IFNW website, and there's a listing there, and you can click on those, and they have a bunch of different videos, but they're very well done.
Yeah, and they were on the show, and they just did a great job at, you know, explaining it, and I can't imagine how great it's going to be seeing the video of them, so I would highly recommend that.
Yeah, they did a good job. Also, hard to believe, but the bear season opens this Saturday. Did you guys know that?
Yep, the 23rd.
The youth day.
Yep.
Hard to believe. This Saturday, the 23rd, is the opening gambit for the Maine bear season. Youngsters will be able to get a first dibs at it. And the department has put out a press release reminding you that if you're a supervisor, make sure that the youngsters are close to you. And let's see, before the actual day of the hunt, visit the location if you get a chance and review the terrain. And consider shortening the day of taking breaks to enhance the experience. One of the things I learned early by taking my young fellas ice fishing was bring a lot of snacks.
Yes.
You know? They eat a lot of hot dogs when they're ice fishing. That keeps them occupied.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, the bear season opens this Saturday, half hour before sunrise. And if you have a youngster who's hunting bear, we wish you the very best of luck. And let's see, bag limits. Junior hunters do not need a bear hunting permit. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
It goes along with their general hunting.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah. And if they're 10 to 15 years of age, of course, they have to be under the effective control of a hunt supervisor. So anyway, good luck to you youngsters with the bear season. And I guess that would mean that the regular bear season opens the following Monday.
It does. The general with bait is August 25th through September 20th.
Seems and a little then, early this year.
Yeah. And then trapping goes September 1st through October 31st, and then hunting with dogs September 8th. Through October 31st.
Yeah.
So lots of
okay. Anyway, some exciting things happening. Yeah. The hard to believe fall is almost on us, and we'll all be bird hunting and deer hunting and moose hunting.
My favorite.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Let's see. What else?
We have the general fishing laws changed yesterday.
Oh, yeah. What about that?
Well, for river stream and brook fishing, August 16th through September 30th, you have artificial lures, flies only. So that means no bait fish, smelt worms. That's to protect, you know, the fish as they prepare to spawn in the fall.
Awesome. You can't go worming trout after
no
the
more.
16th of August.
Well, that was yesterday. So.
Oh, was that yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So no more.
Okay, no more.
Yep.
One other item in the outdoor trivia realm here. Again, we've said this over and over, but it's critical. It's important. They've discovered that West Musquash Lake, which is a habitat for native trout and native salmon, has been illegally stocked with largemouth bass, which are reproducing. This is not a good thing. This is a very bad thing. About the worst thing that could happen to a place like that. And anyway, they're offering a $6,000 reward to anybody who can give the Warden Service a tip that would lead to an arrest and a conviction.
Yeah, that just makes me so sad. Like, there's a million places you can bass fish in
I know,
Maine.
I know.
And that had native, yeah.
Just, I shake my head in disbelief why anybody would do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you know anything and you want to call the Warden Service, call 1-800-ALERT-US. 1-800-ALERT-US, Operation Game Thief. And you can give them a tip and you'll remain secret about your identity. So you don't have to worry about that. And Mandy is holding up the big sign, so we can take trivia question first, can't we?
Well, how about you let us give the question, and then we'll go to commercial.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We're gonna. We have a trivia question, and if Charlie's going to read it, if you have the right answer for Charlie, I'm going to make sure you get a copy of my book, The Maine Angler's Logbook, worth about $25. Do you have the question, Charlie?
The question is, when it comes to baiting bears for a hunt, what are at least three prohibitions?
Okay, one more time, if you would.
When it comes to baiting bears for a hunt, what are at least three prohibitions?
Okay, you think about that, ruminate on that, and the number to call is
1-800-966-1039.
And you stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and the phones are lighting up, and we're going to have a trivia question answer here in just a minute. But first, Catherine has...
I've got a little info for you if you are interested in a workshop.
Fade down that background music, if you would. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy.
Okay.
We'll start again.
First, a little housekeeping item. Go ahead, Catherine.
We have some workshops here. If you would like to gain confidence and skills in judging distance and shooting your rifle from various positions, and one of our hands-on big game hunting workshops, all experience levels rifles are welcome. We encourage you to bring your hunting rifle and ammunition that you're planning on using this season. But if you currently do not own your own firearm, one will be provided for you to use. It's offered two different dates: on Wednesday, August 20th from 4 to 8 at the Western Maine Fish and Game in Harrison, and Tuesday, August 26th from 4 to 7 at the Wilton Fish and Game Club. If you need any information, you can call their office at 207-287-5220 and to discuss. And it sounds like a wonderful, great thing
nice
to do.
Program. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a trivia question call, right, Mandy? No?
Is that too tough? Have no answer?
No, there was one person on the line, but he didn't have an answer to that question, and he has since hung up.
Okay.
Read the question one more time.
What's the question again, Charlie? We'll get some calls here. Go ahead.
The question is, when it comes to baiting bears for a hunt, what are at least three prohibitions?
Yeah, what can't you do? Just give us a bunch.
Yeah.
A couple. There are a bunch, but just give a couple.
Just take a chance. Call in. Be brave. 1-800-966-1039. While we're waiting for an answer to the trivia question, let's start our conversation here. And Mandy will give us a heads up when somebody calls. So again, nice to have you both with us. Charlie Rumsey, you ran the Bangor Gun Show for 30 years. 30 years. And now you're handing the baton over to Sandy Hatt, who's going to run the show. Are you nervous about this, Sandy?
Well, my main goal right now is to not mess it up.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a good mentor in Charlie and Mary Carol Rumsey. And
you bet.
Things going well, learning a lot.
Yeah.
And things going well.
Oh, great. Okay. I remember the gun show goes way back when I worked at the Bangor Daily. We sponsored that. It was Bangor Daily News Charities. And I remember, because I'm a gun nut, it was always an exciting time. And I remember being in the gun show and looking at some of those valuable old antique pieces. Are you still doing that? Is somebody bringing in some of these valuable antique firearms?
There are some people that bring in parts of their collection, and they're there actually more to demonstrate rather than to sell.
Okay.
So we still do get some of that. Back in 1977, when that show first started, there were a number of collectors that brought in some beautiful specimens. There were still a few people bring in some great works from the European masters. And
I remember some of those.
And carvings.
Yeah.
It's still a good place to
go. Just give us a little background, Charlie. How did the Penobscot County Conservation Association take that over? How did that come about?
We were contacted in late 93 with the news that the Bangor Daily wanted to pass that fundraising opportunity on to an organization that might be more suited to doing it rather than continuing it themselves. So we responded, and three or four of our members went to a meeting with the news, and they agreed to pass that to us. So we picked it up in 94, and I had great help from one of the Bangor Daily people, Donna Franson.
I remember Donna, yeah.
Helped me terrifically with a list of exhibitors and things that she had done to keep it working. Without her, it probably would not have gone as smooth as it has, but it's been good. It was a very large show when we started. matter of fact, 1994, when we started, there were 246 tables at the gun show.
Wow.
Yeah, now we're at 80.
Yeah. All right. We have a trivia call. Let's take it, and we'll come back to the interview. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. Judge Rumsey is standing by to judge the veracity of your question. Oh, your answer. Go ahead. First name and where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm calling from, I guess I'm in Kanduskeg right now.
Okay. And what's your first name, sir?
Hey, my name's Peter.
Okay, Peter. Go ahead. What do you think the answer is?
So you can't be closer than 50 yards from the road.
Good, that's one.
A house, an occupied dwelling, I believe is what it says.
Yeah.
And
somebody's looking at his phone.
Look, I'm sorry, what's that? I'm having a poor time connecting here, but hang on a sec.
Yeah, you gotta have one more, right, Charlie?
Yes, one more.
One more.
And you can't hunt from somebody else's stand. Would that cover it, or?
I'm close.
Huh?
It's close.
I think that's all right.
Yeah. I think we got a winner.
Yeah, because you can't be on someone else's land without permission.
Yeah,
so.
That's three items. Yeah.
Good job.
Okay.
Yay.
good job. You get the right answers. You've won a copy of my book, Maine Angler's Logbook. And anything else on your mind tonight?
No, I just enjoy your show. Listen to it for years. I was a winner about 25 years ago, and I got a subscription to your Northwood Sporting Journal.
Oh,
nice.
Great.
Very
well, you
nice.
Go way back. We appreciate that. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You guys for spreading education. And
yeah, we try positive. To. We try to be a little educational. All right, if you'll stay on the line, Mandy is she's going to perform a miracle here and get your address and run the board at the same time, right, Mandy? So stay on the line, and we want to get your address, and I'll mail that book out to you this week, okay?
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you a lot.
Okay, thank you, sir. Good luck to you. All right, so Charlie, we're talking about the gun show. So it started back when you guys picked it up from the BDN way back when.
'94.
And over the years, do you have any idea how much money you generated for charities with these gun shows? Could take a wild guess.
That would be a real wild guess, but I think that in the first years we were dealing with it, we probably put maybe $25,000 in the coffers.
Yeah, wow. That's good.
And it has tapered down, of course, accordingly with the numbers of exhibitors that we've had. When it started, there was no requirement that you be a federally licensed dealer to exhibit and sell at the show. The restrictions on that sort of thing have grown over the years just logarithmically.
Yeah.
Now we are at the point where you can still exhibit firearms at the show for sale, but they must be sold through a federally licensed firearms dealer. They go through the national instant check system before they leave the building.
Yeah. So over the years, there's been a lot of pushback from the anti-gun crowd, who think that the gun show is just a way to get guns easily in the hands of crooks and bad people. Could you respond to that, Sandy?
Well, like Charlie said, everything, all the firearms that are sold at our gun show, at the Bango Gun Show, are required to be processed through the FFL, just as if you're going to a dealer and purchasing one there. So the background check is all in place and all the regulations. Yeah.
So nobody leaves the arena with a gun that they haven't been background checked on, right?
Well, not with a modern firearm.
Yeah.
There are some antiques that could be sold, old black powder guns and so forth.
Does that apply to a muzzleloader?
Yes.
So
muzzleloaders are not involved in the background check.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't realize that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Interesting.
No.
And we do have some dealers that exhibit the black powder and muzzle loaders.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay. So can somebody walk in off the street and say I had an old gun that I wanted to sell or trade? Can I do that? Can I go in there with that gun and trade?
Yes. Once again, all the sales through the at the gun show, a processor, an FFL, but we have a number of people every year that bring in guns that they're interested in selling or trading, and we check them in when they come in. They have to be safety checked to be certain that they're unloaded, and we safety tie them and insurance regulations so that they can't be operated while they're in the show.
So what's the process? I mean, I walk in with my old .30-06, and I want to trade it in for a different gun. Can I go to dealer and try to negotiate?
Yes.
I can do that?
Yep. We have 44 exhibitors there this year, about 80 tables. I think they're around 13 or 14 right now, FFLs, mm-hmm. In the building. So it would be very similar to going into any gun shop and talking to a dealer and making that transaction.
And now there was a worrisome change in the law with that 72-hour waiting period. Would that have put the damper on your gun show if that had been still on the books?
Well, it did help to slow things down last year. This year we're hoping it's not going to be reinstated.
Okay.
It's on hold right now.
Okay.
Could come back at any time. And of course, all the people who are coming to the show are hoping that it doesn't get reinstated.
Yeah.
Because it just does slow things down. And then we have to make arrangements with one dealer to another to transfer guns to a locale where you might have been at one end of the state and bought from a dealer that's at the other end.
Yeah, okay.
So we try to accommodate that as best we can.
Yeah.
And what we found, that came on us about August of last year, and we made some last-minute calls to the dealers, to the licensed dealers that were going to be there, and found that they were all talking amongst themselves already. It's really a good group of people.
Yeah, I bet.
There from the exhibitor standpoint.
Yeah. So the so-called 72-hour gun purchase waiting law has been temporarily suspended by a judge, right?
Yes. I'm not sure what purpose it ever served, because I don't recall very much news about a person who just went in and bought a firearm and then within 72 hours used it in the commission of a crime.
Yeah. But the judge has suggested this is potentially unconstitutional.
Yes.
Because I already go in, I pass a background check, and then I got to wait 72 hours before I can take the gun with me that I bought.
Right.
Right.
The worrisome thing about that for me is most of the people coming to those shows are not a first-time buyer. So if I go to a gun show or a gun store and buy a firearm, what if I'm going to commit a crime? I've already got enough guns to probably dominate the news cycle for the next month.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
Yeah. So what about handguns? Now, can I go in and purchase a handgun at the Bangor Gun Show?
Yes, again, right through the federal firearms license dealers, and it's processed just the same as it would be at your local gun show.
Okay. So I can go in and buy a 9mm or whatever, and if I pass the background check successfully, I can walk out. I don't have to wait?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Just the same as going to a gun store. Same rules apply.
Yeah.
At this point, we don't know what's going to happen with the 72-hour waiting period going forward.
Yeah. Well, let's be hopeful. I think the judge is suggesting that this thing is unconstitutional. And you mentioned, Charlie, we have a state constitution as well. Yeah. And how does that fit into the scheme of things?
Well, I think it's a little more stringent because it doesn't say that the right to keep and bear arms shall never be infringed. It says, now never be questioned.
No kidding. I didn't realize that.
That's Section 16 of the Maine State Constitution.
Yeah. Is that new? Is that a new addition to the Constitution? Has it always been that way?
I don't know the date that was put in. I don't know.
Longer than me.
It's not new.
Yeah. Okay. I guess it's time for breaks, Mandy, right? Yeah. Okay. We take a commercial break. You folks at home, like they say on the country music station, don't go nowhere.
There we go.
We'll be right back.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, 95.1 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
Okay, we are back with Maine Outdoors, and if you joined us later, guest tonight is Charlie Rumsey. He's the Director Emeritus of the Bangor Gun Show, has been for many years, and he's turning the reins over to Sandy Hatt, who's also with us. And we welcome your calls and your questions.
Yes, please call us.
And what is the number?
The number is 1-800-966-1039.
And we don't bite, right?
We do not bite. Okay. We love people to call and talk.
So you had a question to put to Sandy.
Yeah, I just wondered, we've been talking about the gun show, but you haven't told me where it is, and I think it's in a new place. And tell me why it's in the new place. Why did you change venues?
This year, we are relocating to the Bangor Elks Lodge, located at 108 Odland Road here in Bangor. It is traditionally, the gun show has been the weekend after Labor Day. So again, it's September 6th and 7th this year, the weekend after Labor Day, from 9 to 5 on Saturday and 9 to 2 on Sunday.
Nice. And Charlie, do you want to talk about why you changed venues?
Well,
I know the answer. That's why I'm like, I don't know.
Historically, we started out
it.
In the old Bangor Auditorium. We moved to the Cross Center whenever it opened. We moved from there to the Shriners because it was a much better facility for us, and much more open, beautiful lighting and all that. We really were happy there. But it just got to the point where we could not afford the rent anymore. Our rent tripled on us.
Oh, from last year to this year, it tripled.
Yes. So,
The rent tripled?
Tripled. Yeah.
Wow.
Did they explain why that was?
No. Just a new business model is what we were told.
Yeah.
At a tripling, they put us into five figures for rent.
Wow. And you're forced to move.
We don't gross that much, let alone pay that rent. So, although we are, we're just a 501c3 charitable ourselves. We raise money for all the conservation-related projects that we do and the college scholarships, but we just couldn't afford to stay there. We loved it there. They were great people to work with for the years that we were there. Couldn't ask for a nicer place.
Wow.
And has the Elks Club been welcoming to you guys coming there?
Oh, yes. They've been more than welcoming to us.
That's great.
Really good to us. We do lose some tables. The show is going to be a little smaller this year than it has been in the past. But we're looking forward to it. It's a good facility.
Well, it's too bad the Shriners kind of threw you under the bus there. That's really
was there any forewarning, or was it just like, oh, well, here it is?
Well, we were advised that there was going to be a significant change, and when we saw the numbers, it was just just unbelievable. So we had to go out and start looking for a new place to be.
Yeah, it's hard when they ask for more than what you make.
For this last year, they negotiated the price for us by a vote from their board to say they would let us in for a more modest increase in rent, like a 10% or so increase. But we just could not. There was no guarantee going forward. Right. So we just couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah.
All things being equal, we would love to be there. We'd still like to be back because it was a beautiful facility.
Yeah. That's too bad because it's not like you were trying to make a profit or anything. You were doing it for charity.
Yeah, charity. And you give really great scholarships to places. Yeah. And talking just where on the kind of money thing, how much does it cost for people to get into your show?
The regular admission is $8.
Oh, nice.
For an adult. Kids under 12 are free with an adult. And then it's $7 for NRA members, law enforcement, or military with ID.
Nice.
And we have, as long as I've been involved with the show, since it was about 95 or so, we have, if you join the NRA at the show, then you get in free.
Oh, there you go.
So this year,
if I wear my blue hat, can I get in free? If I wear this?
That's a nice hat.
Okay. So it's $8 for the average adult citizen to get in. That's not bad at all. And it's, these shows are always exciting. We have a caller standing by, right, Mandy? Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Charlie Rumsey and Sandy Hatt. I'd like to know your first name. And where are you calling from?
My name is Keith.
Hey, Keith. Ritter,
and I'm from Errol, New Hampshire.
Okay.
Just over the border.
Yeah, I know where you are. What's
up? Okay. Well, I had a question about a book, and I was wondering if you had ever heard of it, and if somebody could get a copy of it, I'd like to buy it. The name of the book is Gaut, G-A-U-T, Gurley, or the Trappers of Umbagog.
No.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that one or not.
Don't have a clue, Keith. Don't have a clue.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was written by D, as in David, P. Thompson in 1860.
Wow, that goes back. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I'm just curious. Are you listening to us on a radio station there, or are you listening to us on the internet?
I'm on the radio.
Oh, no kidding.
On the radio? Yeah. In Errol, New Hampshire?
Yeah, well, it comes right across the Maine border.
What station are you listening to us on?
I think it's WMOU, maybe. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. Sorry we can't help you with the book. And we're glad to have somebody listening from Errol, New Hampshire, though, Keith.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
good luck trying to find that book. Take care. Okay, so the admission is $8. Can you? Are there any special tables that you'd like to feature here on the show? That you'd like to mention?
Well, once again, we have quite a wide variety of exhibitors there. Everything from the modern sporting rifles to the antiquities. We have some folks that specialize in reloading and ammo.
Yeah. Type
of things, accessories.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Are there really some good buys there?
I think so.
I mean, there are some good bargain.
And you get to see things that you might not see, might not run into just anywhere.
Yeah, just at a regular gun shop.
Kind of things. It gives you a chance to look at them, chance to handle them.
Yeah.
So is it just guns? It's like no crossbows? Is it? Or are crossbows there?
No, I don't think I've ever seen a crossbow.
Yeah, I just wondered because that's
We don't.
You don't do archery.
We don't deal with archery equipment.
Right, but where the crossbows kind of like a mix. I just wondered if someone.
I don't, Charlie. I don't know. I don't recall ever seeing anybody with a crossbow there. But
I believe that there was a gentleman there a few years ago by the name of Brett Kirschbaum who brought a few small crossbows in, but I haven't seen them of late. And I find them to be interesting. They are an up-and-coming thing. Some of them are they're way beyond the toy realm now.
Oh, yeah. They're lethal.
But I don't think we'll see any there this year because of the reduction in the number of tables with our move to the facility. We've had to put a focus on firearms, ammunition, and related accessories, optics, and so forth.
So have you had to turn any entries away?
We have a waiting list right now.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have another caller. Let's take good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. What's your first name? Where are you calling us from?
Jason from Winterport, actually.
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
Not too bad. So I got a couple of questions. First off, I think Norm's voice has changed. and then, have they figured out the Great Pond situation yet?
No, that's been a big controversy for such a long time. Now, I hope they do get it straightened out.
It's funny that you should bring that up, because I've been doing my homework, and I've been waiting and waiting for return calls from the Navy public affairs person down in Brunswick or Bath, and they've not called me back.
You went right down there to investigate and do some.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, and I think the lady who is the attorney who lives there in Great Pond had the right answer. I think the resolution of it has to be a political resolution with Susan Collins stepping in. Otherwise, this cloud's going to hang over the boat launch there, and people don't know if they can
go. I think someone needs to send Trump a letter from state of Maine there. He'll do something about that.
Well, he might.
And I think the whole West Musquash thing's a joke.
What
it's kind of BS.
Why do you think it's a joke?
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the fact somebody did that.
Oh yeah, us either. We're like so sad that someone did that.
Well, it's not funny. That's for sure. Okay, Jason. No. Appreciate your call.
Have a good day.
You too. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay. So September 6 and 7, 9 to 2. And admission is $8.
$9 to $5 on Saturday and $9 to $2 on Sunday.
Okay, and anybody who wants to bring a firearm could be a handgun or a long gun.
Correct.
Right.
When they come in, they will expect that we will want to look at the firearm, and one of our people at the door will want to ensure that it is unloaded, and then we will use safety ties to make sure it cannot be loaded while it is in the facility. Magazines removed, actions safety tied closed, no loose ammunition, no loaded magazines.
Okay.
So who's at the door like doing all this? You know what I mean? Like if people are waiting to get in, like how long a process is it for everyone to enter with all of the safety checks?
We will have two or three people doing the safety tying and inspecting on the firearms, and taking your money and getting you a ticket to go through. Stamping your hand doesn't take much time at all. Traditionally at a gun show, there will be people waiting at the door. There'll be a line
The
door opens to get in. And for the first 10 or 15 minutes, it might be like that. Then it'll slow down to a reasonable trickle, and there's really no waiting period at all.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, the Elks Club is located
108 Odlin Road here in Bangor, right by the Red Cross.
Right by the airport there, right?
And they've got good parking and stuff there, so it's going to be a nice place. Yeah.
Plenty of parking available?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
And back to your question about the who is there, who is at the doors. And that's one thing that I think I'd be a little bit remiss if I didn't offer a thank you to the PCCA staff. Everybody that works on the show is a volunteer.
Wow, that's great.
They dedicate their time and dedicate a weekend to come out and help us out. And it takes a crew to run something like that.
Oh, you bet.
How many people throughout the day are they working as volunteers?
Well, it varies depending on who's available, really. But we need a minimum. With this new facility, we need a few more. But we have a kitchen crew is 3 or 4 people. And then we have the...
Wait a minute. Kitchen crew, does that mean there's food?
There are snacks.
Okay, you won me over.
We have the ticket takers and that kind of thing. Then we have door security personnel, gun checkers. We don't allow, like Charlie said, we don't allow loaded firearms in the facility. So we're looking at about 9 or 10 people continuously through the day.
Yeah. Okay. And again, the number is, if you'd like to call in, is what, Catherine?
It is 1-800-966-1039.
Charlie, you mentioned that all of the proceeds from this don't go in your pocket, but go to the PCCA for distribution for scholarships.
Correct.
And it averages around $30,000 a year, something like that?
Well, when we started out, it did. This year, now we probably, we're into four figures, but definitely not into five anymore on the profits for the show.
Yeah. So if you look back over 30 years, and I've written about this, you guys are impressive. The PCCA is an impressive organization. You guys get things done, and it's amazing how much money you've donated to the University of Maine Scholars and also the Husson Scholars. It's got to be in the million after 30-some years, right?
I believe it is. It's in the millions.
Wow.
And it's... It is generated by a lot of volunteer work. The gun show, the sportsman show, and things such as that that we do for fundraisers all year long. And we've been fortunate to have some dynamic leadership with our presidents and our board of directors to keep things moving like that.
What other fundraisers do you have besides that?
Well, the biggest one, of course, is the Eastern Maine Sportsman Show at the university each year in March.
Oh, that's fun.
And we will put an awful lot of people through that one. We use the entire field house, the pool, the pit. It's all there. And we actually would like to have even a bigger place to do it because exhibitors want to be in there. If you want to see everything from a 35-foot boat in there all the way down to the smallest trinkets, it's all there. Outfitters, tour guides for various activities. It's all there.
Yeah, and that's bigger than the gun show financially, right?
Way bigger.
Way bigger,
but that is our primary fundraiser.
Okay. We have callers backed up, which is good. Let's take some calls. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. What's your first name and where are you calling from? Go ahead.
So this first one said he was calling specifically to talk to Charles, and his name is John Reed.
Yeah, go ahead.
John Reed from Auburn.
Okay, John, go ahead.
Hello, John.
Charlie, how are you?
Just peachy. How about yourself?
Good, my friend. I'm listening to you on the radio. You make my heart pump hard, my friend.
You do.
You do. And you know, I think if I'm not the oldest member there at the gun shows, I'm definitely in the top 10 for sure.
You are for sure.
And obviously the Ramada, you know what went on with Ramada with me and you getting that place online. Hopefully I have some tables there. I've been out of the circuit for medical reasons, but I can't imagine not making the Bangor Gun Show. Even if you give me one table outside, I want to be there with you.
If your cell phone number is still good, I'll give you a call tonight or tomorrow, and we can talk about that one.
And that's what I want. Charlie, it's good to hear your voice. Go Maine Gun Shows. Gun shows will never be what they were, but they certainly don't have to be as low as they are now. So you go, my friend, and hopefully I get there and see you. And we're going to go out to dinner again, you and the lady.
Thank you very much, John. As a side note, John Reed is the reason that we knew about the Elks Club, because he put a gun show on there for 2 years. The wife and I went out and measured every square foot of that facility out there and drew his floor plans for them. And now he does still a series of gun shows elsewhere. But that was how we knew about the Elks and its capability to host a show like that. Nice. Good man, John Reed.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that, John. Thank you.
Very nice.
Appreciate the call.
Okay, so we actually have somebody with an answer to Keith's question, the guy from Errol, New Hampshire, asking about the random book.
Are you kidding?
Oh, amazing.
Oh, that's bizarre.
All right, let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. What's your first name and where are you calling from?
My name is Sherry, and I'm calling from Burnham.
Okay. Mm. Hi, Sherry.
I know where Burnham is.
Oh, awesome. I'm just calling. I was listening to the gentleman from New Hampshire called about the trapping book.
Yes.
And a really great resource for old books like that is to use the Maine State Library or the New Hampshire State Library, because they keep books from way, way back. And if you could find it anywhere, it would be there.
All right. Good tip. I hope he's listening over there in Errol, New Hampshire. I'm sure he is. So the takeaway is go to your local library.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We have to take a short commercial break, gents, to make a buck for the station. And Catherine, you have a message for the folks.
I do indeed. For General Appliance Services, it is now owned and operated by Gary Coleman, who has been doing service work for General Appliance for 35 years. Nothing has changed. Rebuilt appliances available. Parts and service for all makes and models. Always reliable, giving you complete support after the sale. You owe it to yourself to come see our gas appliances for your camp, gas refrigeration, gas lights, gas freezers, gas ranges, and enormous not here. You have to fill in, Paul.
Oh, ride the wave, baby.
Here you go. Ride the wave, baby. The personal favorite, the composting toilet. Come see us at our new location, just two doors up, still here serving first-class customer service at 103 Center Street, Brewer, Maine.
J. General Appliance. They've been sponsoring the show for almost 30 years, and we appreciate it.
We appreciate them very much.
We have any other callers stacked up, Mandy?
Not at this time. Oh, there was one other person that called. He didn't want to go on the radio, but he wanted me to ask Okay, his name was Trapper.
Trapper.
And he wanted to ask Charlie why his nickname is Rimfire.
Hey, the plot thickens. Tell us about that Rimfire.
Rimfire is my cowboy action shooting alias. I participate in the cowboy action shooting matches.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Do you really?
That sounds fun.
It's three-gun competition for old folks, I think is what it is. But
Where can we see that?
Yeah,
if you'd like to see it, the best of it that you're going to find is at the Big Pine Gun Club up in Willimantic. A fabulous club.
When does that happen?
The next one is the same weekend as our hunter safety event in PCCA, so I can't be there. But that will be September 17th, I think it is.
I would make a special trip to see you quick draw.
I would too.
No, it's not quick draw.
It's not quick draw.
What is it? Explain what it is.
This cowboy action shooting is done in stages.
Okay.
I guess that conjures up horses and wagons and stuff, but it's this. Each stage is a different scenario. All the targets are steel.
Yeah.
We shoot it with everybody that goes up to the line has to have two revolvers, a rifle, and a shotgun.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And usually at a standard stage, you will fire 5 rounds each from two revolvers, 10 rounds from a rifle, 4 shotgun shells or more.
Yeah.
And there's a story that goes along with each stage. What's happening here? The boys are robbing the stagecoach or they're stealing the gold out of the mine or whatever. But up in Willimantic at the Big Pine Gun Club, they have a nice series of Western scenarios built with storefronts.
Awesome.
When is this again? I got to go to that. You don't know the date?
To be
September 15th and 16th of September or something.
It's the Saturday.
Can I find that online?
I'm sure you can. Big Pine Gun Club.
I didn't know that. I've got to see that.
I want to see that too.
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
I have not been able to make any one of the outdoor cowboy matches this year because of the schedules that I've done for other folks, other people.
Are you shooting a Colt 44?
I am shooting. Right now I'm using some custom pistols from Taylor Firearms in 357 Magnum caliber, but I shoot 38 specials in them, two matched pistols. And I use a Uberti copy of a Winchester 1873 rifle in the same caliber for my rifle, and I use a Stoger Coach gun double barrel 12 gauge for my shotgun.
Yeah. Do you think this guy knows anything about guns?
I think he does.
He handled his first gun at the tail end of World War II, that goes back that far. The reason for the name Rimfire was because my passion for the 22 caliber Rimfire cartridge. I have loved them. I grew up with a 22 caliber gun, and I'm still a fanatic for them. So that's where the Rimfire came from.
Okay, I like that. What a nickname, Rimfire. We have another caller. Let's take it. We have time. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. We'd like to have your first name and where you're calling from.
My name's Eric, and I'm calling from Port Clinton, Ohio.
Wow. Port Clinton, Ohio.
Nice.
Nice to have you on board, Eric. What's up?
Yes, same here. Number one, I would like to compliment you on this last issue of Northwood Sporting Journal. I'm glad that you're willing to take on the political controversies of Commissioner Camuso or whatever.
Yeah, well,
and also,
I'm not a popular guy in Augusta, I can tell you that. But I appreciate your thought. Yes, thank you.
Yes, and also on the book that the gentleman was looking for, I didn't realize it was a trapping book, but you need to get in touch with your very own Jeremiah Wood, who does the
good idea
book column
monthly.
He's a huge trapper, and have the information on
and
that.
And he knows his books, yeah. Good idea. And
oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, and Keith, if you're listening over there in Errol, New Hampshire, Jeremiah Wood writes a column for the Sporting Journal, and his email address is at the end of his column, and Jeremiah knows old books, and I'd get in touch with him. That's a good suggestion. Appreciate it, Eric. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Yep, take care. And nice to hear from Ohio.
That is.
Yeah. We have other callers standing by, do we, Mandy? We don't. Okay. I wonder why she's got the phone in
there. I know. She looks like she's chatting in there.
I always say goodbye after they're done chatting with you. I'm not just going to hang up on them.
Okay.
I love that.
All right, that's a nice thing to do. Any other comments? I want to segue to my favorite subject, the best Maine deer rifle, because I want to hear from both of you on that if we have time. But anything else on the gun show that you want to put across that we haven't touched, Bone?
No, it's just we would encourage, if you have any interest at all in firearms or think you would like to, come on out and support us. First of all, it's nice to do for the fundraiser, for the things that we support. But I'd like to get people more involved in it, because if you can get involved in this in the right way with some good classes, shooting sports are big deals, and they are life sports. You can get too old for some sports. You just can't deal with them anymore. But a life sport is what shooting sports are. You can start off from youngsters with that rimfire 22 rifle, right on up through your, well, I'm still shooting.
There you go.
So there you go. You can get the hyper senior citizens and you still be involved in them. Yeah. And it's good for, it's good discipline. Come on out. If you have not ever experienced any training in it, look on the NRA, National Rifle Association's website for where our course is available near you.
Okay, thank you. Sandy, do you have any other comments?
No, just a final reminder that, again, this year we are in a new location, Bangor Elks Lodge at 108 Odlin Road. And for more information on the gun show or the Penobscot County Conservation Association, we're on the website at pccamaine.org, on Facebook at Penobscot County Conservation Association spelled out, and on Instagram at PCCA1928.
Okay. We have a time to squeeze in a call here.
We got a quick question for Charlie from, I think he said, a retired police chief. Here we go.
Yeah, go ahead, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Charlie Rumsey. Go ahead.
Hey, Charlie. I live here in central Maine. I retired about 20 years ago. I had a question for you about the Byrna weapons that they have. They're considered non-lethal or less lethal. I don't think they've determined which is the correct term, but I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that, if it's considered a less lethal weapon, especially the... Hello?
It is. It is considered less lethal. We have had them to exhibit last year at our sportsman show, and I understand the concept. And for some people who might meet the criteria that they advertise, if you have any concerns about using lethal force, having been a police officer, you will well know that there's a continuum that you need to follow before you can use lethal force. And if you're not ready to deal with that, maybe the less lethal stuff is good for you. And the Byrna certainly is a nationally advertised product. I understand it. I do not use it myself. I am not a fan of that. If I need to employ some means of self-defense, I have been trained for long periods of time, and I will probably be dealing with a firearm. But if you have any qualms about doing that, the Byrna is probably a reasonable option.
Okay. We're almost out of time. Appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Real quick. Best deer rifle.
The biggest caliber that you can effectively handle and shoot accurately.
For you personally?
35 Whalen.
35 Whalen. Okay. Sandy Hatt.
I would agree with that. I think the whatever the person can use ethically, and whatever rifle is understood.
But what is your favorite?
Best. I don't have enough years of deer hunting behind me to have a
wait a minute, wait a minute. What, didn't you win a contest with this? That's okay. What we're building up to.
We got to go. We're out of time. Thank you, gents. We appreciate you, and best of luck with the Bangor Gun Show.
Thanks for having us.
And I want to see Charlie at the shoot up there.
Yeah, lots of
okay.
fun.
Okay. Next week, our guest on the show is going to be Claire Aykroyd, who's written her second book.
Ooh.
We had her on about last year when she wrote a book about the Maplewoods, and she's got a book about murder at the Blueberry Barrens.
Good. She was fun.
She was. And we'll see you next week right here on
the Maine Outdoors.
VOM, the voice of Maine.